Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18, the Bible said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, she is promised to Joseph." Okay? "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Of the Holy Ghost. She's expecting a baby, and the Holy Ghost is the Father. I had a man tell me one time that the Holy Ghost was a mother. He said, "What do you think about that?" That's what I said. I said, "That's crazy." "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son." Thank God. Thank God that the Son came. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. God, touch your hearts. Thank you for the sweet breeze of glory that'll breathe through this church from time to time. God, I pray it never stops. Lord, I pray it only intensifies. I pray, Lord, that it only gets stronger. I pray, God, there'll be more people that'll desire you and your presence and your power in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll take those that have drifted away and bring them back, God, and let a fire be rekindled. Help us this morning, God, to say words that you want said and to say things, not to say things that you don't want said. God, I pray, Lord, if you would, help us, Lord, to breathe on this place. Breathe, God, on this place. Breathe on this place, I pray. God, breathe on us and use us this morning. God, I pray when it's all said and done, I pray, Lord, that if you will, we'll be able to give you glory and praise your holy name for all that you do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to look at this thought. She shall bring forth a son. That's what it says. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. There are so many things that happen because she brought forth a son. But there's some things I want to look at before we get to that, in the fact that there is a problem right here. There's a problem. There's a problem in the fact that we've got an unmarried girl. And all of the problems that is on her, of her being an unmarried girl, reflects back in this situation to a man that's wanting to marry her. We look at the life of Joseph, and we see some things about him that are so great and so desirous, if you will, that we should look and say, "I wish I could be like Joseph. I wish I could have the kind of feelings that Joseph had." Now, I want you to notice just a few things this morning as we look into the life of Joseph and see some things about him in the verses, what the Bible says about him. And it'll probably surprise me, and it'll probably surprise you if you listen, how close that you're going to find that you and I could be like Joseph. I'm not saying that we are, and I'm not saying that we aren't, but we can be. Thank God we can be. Thank God we can be. I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Joseph. What a great man that he was. I want you to notice, first of all, the character for this problem. I said there's a problem. There's a problem. The problem is there's a young girl that's expecting a baby. Now, in this day and hour, it's not an uncommon thing. In this day and hour, it's nothing. I mean, they're congratulating everybody, married or unmarried. Everybody wears a white dress down the aisleway. Everybody has a bridal shower. Everybody gets congratulated and treated like they are just royalty. I can't help it. I believe sin is still sin. I believe it's still good to stay away, to save yourself. Somebody say amen right there. I know this is hard preaching in the hour that we live in, Brother John, because you know somebody. Chances are great, Brother Darnell, you know somebody. Brother Matt, chances are great, you know somebody. Everybody knows somebody that's been faced with this kind of stuff from time to time. And I'm not preaching just on the sinful part of this part right here that I'm looking at, because this part here is not sinful. He said that which is of her is of the Holy Ghost. But I'm saying in today's hour, when you preach them something like this, it doesn't have no effect, because nobody reads the Bible no more. And nobody's looking in the Old Testament no more. And nobody cares about how God felt about sin no more. And nobody cares about what Paul said about sin no more. I'm just saying, this hour that we're living in, things has changed. But still, from the time that we're here, I want you to see there was a problem. There was a problem. It's an unmarried girl, and it's a man that has such great, great character that he knew how to deal with it. I want you to notice the character for this problem right here. The character for this problem. Verse 19, the Bible says this, and then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. A just man. He wasn't an ordinary man. He wasn't an old Saturday night drunk. He wasn't a doper standing on the street corner. We was up in that church the other night, Friday night, and I don't even know who that young man was. There was a young boy sitting back there behind us. You know who I'm talking about? Do you know him? He was standing back behind us, and he was talking about how his dad had been in the hospital for 4 days, and nobody knew he was there. And he was a doper. He was a drunkard. All he ever knew was a needle in his arm. That's what that man's testimony was about his father. He said, my own daddy was in the hospital for 4 days, and they didn't even know what his name was, have no idea on him. He was nothing but a John Doe, Brother Tracy, in that hospital. Can I tell you tonight, that's all because of sin. And that young man says, one day I was right there with him. I was right there with him. He said, but I want to thank God tonight for my salvation. If there's anything that you ought to do today, you ought to thank God for your salvation. You ought to thank God that God got you out of that horrible pit where you was at, got you out of that hellhole where you was at, got you down there to the church house. The only thing you got to worry about is when the devil comes by and tries to tempt you and get you out. I'm saying just hang around down at the church house. Stay around God. Stay around God's people. Stay around the songs of God. Stay around the Word of God. Just stay around Word of God. The Holy Ghost is moving at. Just stay around God. Just stay around God. Stay around God. You say, Brother Everett, I'm not that excited. I can tell. You ain't got to tell me you ain't that excited. I can tell. I can tell what does excite you. But I want you to notice the character that Joseph had. His character was, he was a just man. He did not let this bother him. You ever heard people, you've heard people before, they say, what are they doing over there? What's our neighbors doing? What's me and Mama ride up and down the road? Mama say, why they dig that big old ditch? What are they doing? Why are they cutting trees back over there? I don't know. And can I tell you something else? I don't care. They didn't ask me to donate one dime. I ain't paid no money out of what they're doing. I don't care. You can spray Roundup on all your grass, all your flowers. I don't care. That's you. That's your business. For me to have good, godly character, the only thing that I would want to say to you is, please come to church on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, Joseph had good character. He was a just man. But I want you to know there's something besides character in this problem. But there's conviction in this problem. You know what's left the house of God? Conviction. Is this on? Conviction. Conviction. So what's conviction? That's when I do wrong and the Holy Ghost of God tells me you did wrong. And you need to get right with God. Conviction's gone. There used to be a time when somebody could offend somebody down at the house of God, and it bothered them so bad, Brother Gary, they couldn't wait to get over there and tell them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I'd have never opened my mouth. Hey, but can I tell you now? Now we're living in an hour when it's yin, 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 and there ain't nobody under enough conviction to want to get right with God. Nobody. 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 You said, I am. Nobody. Nobody. It takes two to tango. I don't see why two people couldn't say, I ain't right with God. I ain't right with God, but I want to get right with God.
Amen.
You come in here and your wife said something hurt your feelings. You mad at her. You waiting on her. And you're waiting until Jesus comes before she gets right with God. Why don't you just go and tell her, I'm sorry that I have been a whiner and I have been so spiritually immature that I would not have taken it upon myself to say, listen, I know that's not you. You don't act like that. That's not your normal way. I've known you way too long. And I want to know, I want to tell you, I'm sorry for you to have to go through that.
How about that?
But not no more. But in this problem, there was conviction.
Yeah. Yeah.
The preacher didn't do it like I thought he ought to do it. That preacher didn't. He said something. He didn't even shake my hand.
Yeah.
Well, every time he does, you got a frown on your face. Hey, man, walk there by John Owen and try to shake his hand. Looks like he's got Copenhagen stuff up in Punger's top lip up there. You know how that stuff works. I don't know how it works. So go somewhere in your mouth. All I know, amen. Not, don't do it, John Owen. Don't do it. I'm just saying, I am saying, what does it take for old time convicting power of God to go back to work?
Amen.
Oh, fret not, little flock. Because the Lord knows what your strength, your heartstrings are attached to. I'll never forget that good friend of mine that just passed away, And my wife and Kristen went with me to the funeral, and they let me be a part of that funeral service. I'll never forget he said this. And I'm not trying, this is an example. I'm trying to give you an example. Are you listening to me? You know what people take preaching so personal anymore that they just like, you can't preach nothing without them saying, he's talking to me. I was. I'm preaching to Brother Leo. I'm preaching to Sister Libby. They need it. Brother Dustin, I'm preaching to you and your wife, your mother-in-law, but Tim, your family. Y'all need it. Because when you leave out of here, you're going to turn the radio on something you probably shouldn't listen to, and you're going to turn something on TV you ought not be watching, and you're going to hang around with people that cusses and takes God's name in vain. 12:02, and it's quiet as a church mouse in here right now. I'm talking about conviction. I'm talking about conviction. I preached that boy's funeral. I'm telling you. He told me just 2 weeks before he died. We was talking. Brother Leroy had to FaceTime with him 2 or 3 weeks before he died. I had to FaceTime with him because Brother Alex, he had it COVID. And he was, just before they put him on a ventilator, and he was in the hospital. And while he's in that hospital, I FaceTime him and I'm talking to him. And I don't even know why it come up. I asked him, I said, have you had a shot of vaccine? And if you ain't had one, please don't leave out of here saying the preacher's preaching on vaccinations. Listen, that's up to you. That's totally up to you. You make your decisions on that. I don't care. I've done got older, and I'm nervous about everything. Okay? I'm wanting to prop up my recliner so it don't lay back too far. I don't want to be the laughing stock in my home when it goes all the way back. But he said this. I said, have you had the vaccine? He said, I have not. He's laying in the bed, and he's dying. He's laying in a hospital bed, and he's dying. He said, but as soon as I get out of here, Now, that was his decision. Let me turn that around. Are you going to get right with God today? I have not yet. But as soon as I get out of here, that means you ain't never going to. You said, I ain't done nothing. I ain't done nothing to hurt nobody. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen to me real good right here. If somebody thinks that you have done something to hurt them and you know it, you ought to be Christian enough to keep them from going down further and further and further, to go to them and say, I just want you to know I love you. And I promise you I wouldn't hurt you in no way. I promise you, I want things to be right between me and you. Whatever it takes. I'm talking about old time conviction. Old time conviction. I've seen it in churches, Brother John, where preachers would stand up and apologize to another preacher. I've seen it in churches where people would stand up in the house of God. Hey, you know what? You know what? I don't think she'll mind me saying this, Sister Lindsay. I want to say something. If you don't mind me saying this, something you said to me a couple of weeks ago, we had the service, and she come up on the platform and she said, Preacher, I love you and I appreciate you, and I'm sorry that I don't tell you enough. You know what? There's some of y'all in here, I ain't never heard you say that. Never. Never. But I do know you love some stuff, because all it takes is your team to play. All it takes is you to get a raise, and I hear about it. All it takes is you to get a brand new car, I hear about it. You say, but are you just wanting to get some attention? No, no, no. I'm wanting to make sure that everybody's heart is right with God. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. That's all that matters, Brother Darnell. If you don't, you think you've got an enemy? Hey, you think you've got an enemy you can outwit? Let me tell you how powerful he is. Let me tell you how he works now. She said that night. Thank you. You know, I love you. She's like a daughter to us. She really is. Here's what the devil will do after that. And this don't mean that you've got to do something. This stuff scares me to death, Brother John. But I went home, and the enemy came by my house. He said, one out of the whole church. I had to hear that. I've had to live with that. Are you listening to me? You know why? Because conviction don't matter no more. You know what Joseph said? Verse number 19. He said that he was mindful to put her away privately. He was mindful to put her away privately. Listen up. Put your flashlight up. Listen up. He was mindful to put her away privately. But he had great character. Great character. What a man Joseph was. He not only had conviction, but he had compassion. He was not willing to make her a public example. Man. We're living in an hour. I'm trying to hurry. We're living in an hour when the kind of preaching that's wanted is preaching that will not offend nobody. Brother Gary, preaching that is so sweet and so gushy, you're almost scared to be around. When was the last time you heard anybody just talk about conviction like I just did? When was the last time? When was the last time you heard somebody talking about conviction and it struck a chord in your heart? That's why I say, listen, we're living in this world, but we don't have to live like this world. people talking about these kids going off to college and all this kind of stuff and everything. That scares me. That scares me. Not this hour. That scares me. You say they're gonna get a great education and they're gonna get smart and they're gonna make a lot of money. So I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, as a preacher, it scares me. I've not seen one go off that came back. Brother Allen said something about James working to being able to come on Friday night things. That's the only time he gets to go and have church. James knew that when he took the job. I ain't got no compassion right there. You take a job where you've got to work another time, you've got to miss church on Sunday morning, that ain't my fault. Is it God's fault? I know sometimes people have to work different shifts and different. They're nurses and doctors. They're firemen. They're paramedics. I understand all that stuff. I understand that stuff. But I'm telling you, Joseph had such a character that he was with this woman in the trouble she is with. Not one person in the world at that time believed that the baby she was expecting was of the Holy Ghost. Not one person. And the Bible said that he had compassion and he was not willing to put her away. Because that's what they used to do a long time ago. If a young girl in a family became in the motherly way, she went off the scene. And her friends didn't see her no more. And nobody saw her at school no more. I've seen that personally. I've seen it. I'm talking about Joseph had compassion. He had character. He had conviction. But he also had compassion. Real quick. I'm trying to hurry. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice this. How many of us? Somebody hit me right here. I'll tell you right now. I ain't saying nothing. The devil will instigate you, and he'll probably do it through one of your friends, Brother Darnell. Is anybody listening to me? He's told it. How many times has this man told it? How many times has this man said his own family has asked him, what you going down there to that white church for? How many times we've heard that? His own family has done what they could to get him out of church. But a place, they're trying to take him to a place where he ain't going to go to church faithful. They're going to try to put him in a place where that church won't take care of him. I have personally told him, you mark this down, you go on record, some others of you have too. I have personally told him, but Darnell, if you need anything, have I said it? Did I say accept?
No.
I just said anything. He knows he's safe. But his own family is trying to get him out of a place that he can worship God. A place where he's loved. You know what Joseph had that most people that don't have? Are you listening? He had control. He had control. He didn't say things that he could have said. Being mindful to put her away privately, but no, I ain't going to do that. Being mindful, what all could have run through his mind if it had been your daughter? If it had been the woman you was fixing to marry and all this happened, would you have enough control? Come on. Let's come on back down to the church. Because we've been over there in Bethlehem for a while now. Let's come to the church. And the devil did tempt you. And the devil did talk to you. And the devil did lie to you. And the devil did tell you, you don't matter down there. But rather than grabbing your suitcase and your Bible and your songbook that you thought you bought one time and head down the road to another church, you had so much control. You said, wait a minute, I got to go back to the scripture. I got to go back where I read that he has never done good, this tempter. He is the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. He ain't done nothing but try to kill me. I'm looking at it face to face in my life, in my home, in my family. I'm looking right at it. He's trying to destroy what little bit of faith I have. I mean, I know I quit reading my Bible, and I know I quit praying, and I know I don't go to church. I don't support missionaries no more like I used to. I know I've done a lot of things that's made me slide the backwards way, but here he is now telling me it don't matter, and I need to go somewhere else. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God will come down where you are and said, hey, did you forget he's a liar? Did you forget he's a murderer? Did you forget he's trying to kill you? He's trying to kill your children. He'll kill your family. He'll kill your home. I'm saying Joseph had good control.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Man, what a man of God he was. Oh, man, you said, Brother Edward, you preached on everything that I do this morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If it wouldn't embarrass you, I'd ask for a show of hands who all's been there, but don't do it. Don't do it. But I hope I've said something that struck a chord in your heart. I hope I've said something that'll make you want to get right with God. Because if you ain't right with your brethren, you ain't right with God. If you ain't right with the pastor, you ain't right with God. I've heard more people, I've heard some people tell me of the things that I did that they didn't like, more than the very fact that they'd say, thank you for being my preacher. I've heard more of it. Are you mad about it? No. I ain't mad about it. It hurts. It hurts, but I promise you this. All it tells me is how far that person was from God. How far that person was from God. I'm telling you, he had control. He had control. So, knowing this about Joseph, look into verse 21, the Bible said, he shall bring forth a son. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And she shall save his people from their sins. You know what? You know what? You know what else there was for the problem? There was comfort. Thank God the son came. She shall bring forth a son. You say, what's that going to do? When she brings forth a son, what will that do? Well, it'll do several things. Can I tell you right quick? That will be done. Number one, it fulfilled prophecy. It fulfilled prophecy. Isaiah said that she'll bring forth a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. When it fulfilled prophecy, it verified the very fact that the Bible's true. When it fulfilled prophecy. It fulfilled prophecy, Brother Darnell. And all you can say, hey, 600, 700, 800 years ago, that was prophesied. That's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Thank God for the man of God that listened to the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter said. Well, older men of God was inspired by the Holy Ghost when they wrote the scripture. And when that was fulfilled, it laid a stamp of approval. This book is true. This book is true. Thank God. When the Son came, it fulfilled prophecy. When the Son came, there was men had hope. There was men looking for Him. Before He came, they were looking for Him. And you ever read that text about whenever the wise men went to search? They said, we've seen His star and we're looking for Him. There was men that was looking for Him before He came. But when she brought forth the Son, they went on a journey. They said, we've seen the star. He's here somewhere. I'm telling you, I'm not looking for a church where the sun is not at. I'm looking for a place to worship where I can think about the day I was redeemed. I can think about the day I was saved. I can think about the day that He washed my sin dead away. I can think about all the good things He's done for me. I can reminisce while you testify. I can reminisce while you testify of how good God's been to me. I'm saying God just been real good, and sometimes we forget about it, but thank God there were some men looking for Him even before He was born. I still believe there's men looking for it, Brother Donnell. We don't cross paths with them like we used to. But there's still people looking for it. Brother Michael Plowman, a good friend of mine. Many of you know him. He's preached here before. He's a great preacher. I just sent him a verse the other day and just letting him know I appreciate him and love him. And I'm just hoping he sees souls get saved. He said, we had a meeting the other night. Take me back. He said, we had a meeting the other night. Had a game warden got saved. I said, praise God. If anybody needs to get saved, game warden. Or a policeman. Or a fireman. Or a paramedic. Or a sinner. I tried to get around where you was at. Or somebody in the Navy. Folk just retired. An AC man. A periscope polisher. Amen. Amen. I'm just talking about everybody needs to get saved. And thank God when He said that, something just went off in me. I said, praise the Lord, another sinner not going to hell. Because she brought forth a son. The son came. And people still looking for Him. And I might insert this, if you don't mind. I don't think this will hurt your feelings if I say this. Shame on me when I cross people that are looking for Him and I don't say nothing about Him. Well, I'm real interested in my yard looking good. I want my grass manicured. I want my flowers looking nice. I want my house being up to date. I ain't preaching to nobody in here. I'm saying, thank God she brought forth a son. Listen, there's something inside of us. There's something inside of us, Brother Tyler. We can't help it. Especially when we get older. We see our kids out there playing ball. It just does something. It just does something. They hit a home run or kick a field goal or score in a soccer game. But I'll say this, when they're real little, it ain't for them. It's for mom and daddy. They don't even want to be there. Am I right? How many times has he said, I don't want to go play soccer? We didn't have a soccer team. We didn't have a ball team. I got on a little league team one time. And Mama planted a garden. You ever plant a garden? They require attention. And if you've got children, that is the attention that it requires. And I was having to work in the garden. And I had a little league game that evening. And I told Mama, I said, we had a game today. She said, you got a garden today. Now, the game goes on at school. We had recreation, we had recess, we had PE. We learned out there Coach Stern was our teacher. But at home, we've been taught responsibility. And I hate to say this, but we're living in an hour when most children, if you tell them to go out, do something in the yard, what do they say? What of it? What is it? It ain't what you've done. It's what you fix and do on that backside when I kick it. You're going to pat it and nurse it. That's where Daddy was. I'm saying that we got to have some character. As a Christian, we got to have some compassion. We got to have some control. Control. As a Christian, I don't think I have ever, 24 years I've been here, full time, 10 years prior to that, 34 years service here in this church. I don't think, I take that back. There was a fella come here one time, I told him to put bed for him to leave. He's a troublemaker, and I could tell it. And I cared more about the sheep than I did one donkey that's going to get to braying. I'm just being honest. I cared a whole lot more for the sheep in this church. And it didn't bother me that morning to say, "Hey, bud, you at the wrong place this morning. I think you was here." You know what I found out about that fellow? How many years ago has that been? 10 or better? 20 or better? He still ain't serving. Be something real good sometime. The preacher says something hard to you. If you got to say something like this. "Preacher, that was mighty hard to me. And the reason it was hard to me this morning is because I ain't right with God. And I want to apologize, number one, for not being right with God. And number two, I want to apologize for me thinking it was hard." Had she not had a son, let's all stand together.